1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The Supreme Court rules on immunity. I'm Chuck Sievertson. On the decision that former presidents have immunity from prosecution for some but not all official acts from when they held office, President Biden at the White House tying it to the man who came before him.
The American people must decide. They want to entrust the president once again, the presidency, to Donald Trump, now knowing he'll be more emboldened to do whatever he pleases whenever he wants to do it.
Mr. Biden says the American people deserve to know before this election President Trump's role in January 6th. The January 6th election interference case goes ahead, but the justices found Mr. Trump absolutely immune for alleged conduct involving discussions with the Justice Department, and at least presumptively immune from allegations that he tried to pressure Vice President Pence to reject certification of Joe Biden's electoral vote victory. This is ABC News.
ABC News.
Some U.S. military bases in Europe now under a heightened state of alert. It's the second highest of five levels due to a number of concerns. The Pentagon's Sabrina Singh.
It's called Sensa, a nicotine-free e-cigarette. Tobacco maker R.J. Reynolds says it'll market the product to adults 21 and older, but the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids isn't buying it. It says with fun-sounding fruit flavors like watermelon frost and berry fusion and brightly colored packaging, the product is targeted at kids and teens. The Wall Street Journal says regulating Sensa would be something of a gray area since it doesn't contain nicotine, the addictive chemical in tobacco. Albinger, ABC News.
The Pentagon, Sabrina Singh, on those U.S. military bases under a heightened state of alert.
Not related to a single threat, but it was due to a combination of factors potentially impacting the safety and security of service members stationed in the European theater.
And might have to do with the Paris Olympics as well. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maryland Governor Wes Moore visited Wisconsin over the weekend to campaign for President Biden and rally black voters. Governor Moore asked Democrats to continue supporting the president, despite his rocky debate performance. According to a new CBS poll, 72% of registered voters do not believe Biden is mentally capable of serving another term. July 1st is National Postal Workers Day, a celebration of the job they do to deliver the mail. Postal workers provide a vital service, especially during big election years. Daniel Cortez is with the American Postal Workers Union.
Whether it be America's election mail or letters from grandparents, care packages to our service members overseas, vital prescriptions for our seniors and veterans, it's important to remember that all of that happens because of the dedication of the postal workers day in and day out.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff. And this is Civic Media News.
Another series win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 7-1 to win the home series 2-1. Bottom of the fourth, the Brewers able to get past Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks with three consecutive singles. Then it was Bryce Durang at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Tied for the major league lead in grand slams. Durang in the win.
Yeah. The Brewers have now hit 5 grand slams in their last 8 games. 2 from Terang, who spoke after the game.
Yeah, you know, we got to have guys on to hit grand slams, and we're doing that. It happens.
The Cubs only able to generate 1 run on a solo home run shot and just 2 hits.
Well, offensively, I think, you know, it's 1 run, so it's hard to see a scenario where that's going to win us a game. And, you know, no matter who we're facing, we're going to have to be better.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and a low in the upper 50s. Storms ending tomorrow morning, but more developing again in the afternoon. High, low 70s. Sunshine returns, nice day Wednesday. High, low 80s. Storm chances return for the 4th of July. Currently, it's 66.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden addresses the nation on presidential immunity. We'll have all the coverage. We'll also see whether or not he's had SEAL Team 6 on speed dial this whole time.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off of Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we got a letter of friends know on Facebook and YouTube here. I'm going to unmute my laptop here and say, hey, we have a little technical problems at the mothership, and we'll be right back with you rebooting the computer. And I hear the computer's really hot. No, I don't.
Okay.
But just thought I'd let them know. Here, we're back on with, looks like we're back
on.
Yes, cool. Hey, we discuss local and national news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, they are. Everyone go check out J.S. Bean Factory in St. Paul off of Randolph Avenue for all of your coffee beans and necessities.
Well, it's a sad day in Canada and around, all around, really, Turtle Island here. And hey, Wendy, how you doing? Let me unmute you here. You popped up on the screen here. You're looking good here.
Thank you.
It's you know, our buried relatives that are up in Canada, and we acknowledge them, Haley and Wendy, on this day. And it's, you know, let's turn everything orange. It's an Indigenous Children's Remembrance Day here on Native Roots Radio in Canada and all over Turtle Island.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good reminder to just everyone listening, every single one of your Indigenous friends or any Indigenous person you know, either they're a residential school survivor, a survivor's child, a survivor's grandchild, or sometimes all three can be every single one. So we just remember all those that lost their lives in residential schools and never made their way home.
Well, how we're related to is our Gaga, which would be your great grandma and my grandma, was in residential school, and Howard McKee Jr. went and kidnapped her and stole her out of there, and she was only there for a short time. But
yeah, thank goodness.
Still, we have remembrance and residuals of that in our family and a lot of Native families. We're still healing here in our family.
Yeah. And I know everyone talks a lot about generational trauma and how trauma can be passed down into families to the next generation until someone is, you know, strong enough or resilient enough to take on those traumas and heal not only themselves, but the generations before them. And I just want to say, proud of you, all of those that are doing that and, you know, healing from this trauma that's lasted so many generations.
And it's rough work. And, you know, it's not just Native Americans, but today we're talking about it, but all families go through some kind of trauma. I mean, you think about, you know, the people that came to this country, there was no fresh water. So they were all like drinking brandy on the way here from their other countries all over the world in the olden days. And we got a lot of friends out there that have alcoholism and all that in their families too. And so we just got to, you know, talk about trauma and that we all experience it and we all have to have some empathy towards everybody's trauma.
Yeah, that's a good, really good point. And another thing to remember is, you know, no matter where you're from around the country, we were all kind of colonized just different times, and that affected everyone.
Well, I know Wendy's Italian family was colonized because we were all at one time, you know, in tribes and believing in Mother Earth and sacred animals and all those things that Native Americans try to bring back or keep intact. And I know everyone's been colonized, Wendy.
Yes, they have. Our family back in Italy, like you said, came over and, you know, we were called guineas and wops and culture was taken away. And I mean, not like you guys, though. Right. I mean, you guys were killed and your children were stolen from you. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, we just, you know, we got to acknowledge it, though, too. And and the big acknowledgement for us today on Native Roots Radio, too, is up in Canada. Because was it 3-4 years ago, Wendy, they kept on finding bodies outside mm-hmm. these schools?
Yeah, in graves.
Yeah, you unmarked. Know, yeah.
Like you guys said, you know, your grandmother and great-grandmother, it's not that long ago mm-hmm. that this all happened. You know, people right. think that this happened like hundreds of years ago, and it didn't. It's just... No. You know,
right.
One or two generations ago.
Right. I read somewhere on Facebook, a person that's roughly my age was basically saying he was first generation that wasn't in boarding school.
Yep.
So wow. You're absolutely right. That's mm-hmm. And those are things that we talk about, too, Wen and Haley, is that, you know, we in 1978, Native Americans were able to practice their own religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a mind blower when you tell people that, because it's not taught in schools.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah, still and still met with so much resistance. Native Americans trying to practice their spirituality, whether that's in school or just in public. And I just saw an article actually today, and I forget where it was, but there was some person was, I think, smudging and they were expelled from school due to, and they called it a satanic ritual, which is just very wow. not true.
Well, what people don't understand, they're afraid of, and that's exactly what happened there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, it's 2024, but, and you know, I was never taught anything about Native Americans other than, Columbus discovered us in 1492. That's the only really history that I was ever taught in the 60s and 70s when I was in high school and grade school.
Yeah, probably same. I don't remember too much of Native education. And now we're looking at, in Minnesota at least, where it's a required thing to be teaching in schools, which is, you know, moving in a good direction.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out, because I'm sure... Where you're around tall buildings, it will be taught, but once you get further away from the taller buildings, I'm not sure how that's being enforced and all those things. So we'll see, but yeah. It's a start and we're talking about it. And I know, you know, when we run into people out in the community, they're really happy for this show, not only for our Native teachings and teaching everyone, but also our sacred animal. I learned so much about Wendy's sacred animal portion too, and so it's exciting that we do this. We've been doing this for a long time now, and we're excited to be here and reach a mass audience and talk about Native issues, which we talk about our human issues.
Yeah. I want to give you guys a shout out. You guys had something big and exciting over the weekend. It was your wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary to you too, Robert and Wendy.
Thank you, Haley.
Thank you, Big Peeny Geegee. Wendy is still with me. She should get some kind of award or something, but
she deserves the biggest award.
We'll talk about that some other show. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. Oh, well, we still have a minute. It looks like it's only,
that was a little early, so I was trying to get a little more conversation.
Well, I'm going to turn the music down a little bit and happy anniversary there, Wendy.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Robert. 23 years.
What does it feel like?
Wow.
23 minutes underwater.
Whoa.
23 minutes underwater.
You have to hold
underwater.
Your breath and all that stuff. Wow. Yeah. Well, you're a trooper. I'm your best husband so far.
Yep. I always say that.
Yeah. Hey, now we got the sign for 30 seconds left. Now we wasted 30 seconds on anniversary talk.
Worth it.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and ENERGY STAR's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top quality products. Until now, 952 Windows thrived on referrals and the loyalty of satisfied window light customers. They continue to support these customers by providing warranty parts for the 80,000 windows sold since 1994. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, it's a fun Monday here, and we got Wendy with us, and we also have Dr. Stately, who's president and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis. Was that the puppy that was sneezing?
That might have been some sneezing.
Oh. Oh. Hey, welcome, Dr. Stately, and good to see you as always. And it looks like at your palatial mansion out in
my palatial mansion. That's so funny. Yeah.
That was from the old days of Rich and Famous. Remember those old?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, that was like a series hit back then. Who was the guy that did that?
Robin Leach? No.
Yeah, Robin Leach, I think
it was.
Robin
it was like, oh, wow.
That
was
Rich and Famous?
Yeah.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Right.
Yeah, with Robin Leach, yeah.
We'd get kicked out.
It's hard. That's yeah. I should do. We should do like an indigenous version of that. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Bingo Winners.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
You can, and you could have like you could go and visit people in their trailers up on their ads.
You know. Right. Well, I have many medals from playing. Lacrosse and also completing the 5K that Ho-Chunk always has every year. I get all these medals, so maybe we could like show off our medals,
like in the elder category.
Yeah,
I think they just gave it for showing up. But I always, for the photograph, nice. Always pretend to be running at the last, you know, 100 yards.
Yeah,
I think you're running with me a couple times.
I was running.
I'd be one of those. I would be one of those ones that like had my like family drive me and then drop me off nearby. spray some water on myself, make it look like I sweated.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
one.
It's so exhausting. Did I break the record?
Right, exactly. Well, I think it's just a award. Matter of fact, I have so many of the medals. This year I said, no, give it to somebody else because I'm trying to downsize.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's
there.
Very generous of you. Do you have the ability to melt them down? Can you turn them into anything?
No, but no, but I wonder. No.
They're all plastic.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, there you go. You can melt those down for sure.
Yeah,
they're metal. I don't know what you could make. I don't know what you could make out of them, but okay.
Something nice. Sacred, awesome. I hope. Something sacred.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, you know,
Dr.
Stately, I don't know if you know this, but like our New York family, and even including Wendy, was not feeling well, and COVID's still a thing out there, and it's coming back in the summer.
I think, well, New York is like a big international like transit hub, isn't it, too? So like, yeah. So, I mean, I think I have a staff member or two that have gone traveling in the last couple of weeks, and they all came back and they're like, you know, they're sick, their whole family, they're sick, you know, and it's not just like, you know, a little bit of a cold. It's like they feel like they're, you know, they have like, what do you call it, flu, you know, the demonic time kind, because one of my staff members told me that her son projectile vomited all over her, all over the house this morning. And I was like, oh, was it like exorcist? Mm-hmm. And she was exactly. And I said, oh, it's demonic flu.
Wendy, you don't have that.
I don't have the flu, and I don't have COVID either. The doctor just said I have like an viral thing going on. Like my head is clogged. I feel like I'm underwater. My sister's sick, and my niece has COVID. So.
Oh, wow. I know that there's like a month ago, they were talking in like a COVID update that I was in. They were talking about how there's two dominant strains now that are kind of like, I forget what the names of them are. I don't even think they had names for them. They had like numbers. Mm-hmm. you know, the problem with it is that, you know, it's kind of like a smart virus. You know, apparently smarter than your average teenager because they figure out how to sort of like really stealthy. You know, they figure out a way to get into your system and like just knock you down. So, you know, maybe I'm being unkind. I'm talking about maybe just my teenagers.
Yeah, well, it's still going on, and you know, I was wondering. I just went and got a physical, and I thought, geez, they didn't give me a COVID shot, but I guess that's coming around in fall, right?
Yeah, so I think the plan is that during, like, right as people are normally preparing for things like going back to school, preparing for fall, the weather turning to cold. Like the around the time you'd get normally get like your flu shot, I think what they're going to do is, and actually no, I think I don't know what the name of the company is, and I probably wouldn't be able to say their name anyway because this is radio. But in the clinic a couple weeks ago, we got some samples of tests that were sent to us that were like COVID and flu together combined, so you can like test for the same thing at the same time. Yeah. And I was like, well, how does it work if you have both? But it gives a pot. And I would imagine it's possible to have both. Why wouldn't it be possible to have both? So anyway, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, the technology keeps moving and changing with it. But I think the other thing that's like, you know, just imperative in this conversation is like recognizing that, like, you know, we're closing out our fourth solid year here soon of COVID. And entering to our fifth year. And so this is kind of the nature, I think, of where we talked about this a couple of years ago, I think, or last year, maybe a year ago now. It's like, this is going to become like what's known as an endemic, not a pandemic or an epidemic or a pandemic, but just endemic, meaning like it's just something that we all live with, kind of like the flu, kind of like, the cold, the seasonal cold, those kinds of things. And it's going to be something that we're going to be living with for a while. It might not be something that necessarily makes us, won't necessarily be something we typically and normally die from or even get seriously sick unless people who are very vulnerable get it, right? That's kind of the nature of an endemic.
It's crazy. And so
I think that's what we have to look forward to for the next, I don't know, until the next thing comes along, which, oh, did you see God is coming through my window right here, right now?
Very angelic. Yes.
Yeah,
I know, right? Oh,
your lighting director is awesome.
So sacred.
Well, I had COVID and it lasted forever. I had a rebound, or what? How did it go? I had COVID,
I remember that
a drug, and then
Paxlovid. Paxlovid.
And then Paxlovid. 5 years later, when it was done, I regressed back to feeling sick. Mm-hmm. Now, Wendy, you've been sick for 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that the majority of people that are getting these respiratory things that, you know, look and act and behave like COVID but aren't testing positive for it. And anyway, my colleague that went to Norway and also spent some time in Iceland before they came home. she's a funny one, that one. She said, I think that we just don't have the tests here in America, the tests for the European version of COVID. And I was like, well, I don't think it works that way. But, but you know, it's like, the thing is that if a strain mutates rapidly and quickly, I think probably it's possible that major components of it aren't caught by other tests that aren't designed necessarily to test for the antibodies, antigens. So I don't know. I'm not an infectious disease specialist. I just, you know, I was an infectious disease specialist.
No, Wendy used to be.
Oh, she used to be. Yeah. You know, and it's, everybody was during COVID, actually, quite frankly, if I can't be completely honest. It's like, you know, they all had different opinions, which was confusing to people. But I would just say, like, you know, it reifies and reinforces the idea of, like, if you're traveling and if you're on a plane, if you're, like, doing these things, it's like, you know, the best thing to do is, like.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is a special report from ABC News. The Supreme Court rules on immunity. I'm Chuck Sievertson. On the decision that former presidents have immunity from prosecution for some but not all official acts from when they held office, President Biden at the White House tying it to the man who came before him.
The American people must decide if they want to entrust the president once again, the presidency, to Donald Trump, now knowing he'll be more emboldened to do whatever he pleases whenever he wants to do it.
Mr. Biden says the American people deserve to know before this election President Trump's role in January 6th. The January 6th election interference case goes ahead, but the justices found Mr. Trump absolutely immune for alleged conduct involving discussions with the Justice Department, and at least presumptively immune from allegations that he tried to pressure Vice President Pence to reject certification of Joe Biden's electoral vote victory. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is declaring a state of emergency in Wisconsin following recent severe weather across the state. Late June storms damaged trees and infrastructure and caused power outages and flooding. A state of emergency will allow the Wisconsin National Guard to help with storm response and recovery. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign has started collecting signatures to appear on Wisconsin's November ballots. They need 2,000 valid signatures by August 6th.
We'll probably collect 4,000 or 5,000 signatures just to be sure that that we have far more than we need. And if our other state's performance is anything to go by, it may be far, far more than that.
Campaign manager Amaryllis Fox Kennedy speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff. And this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Kevin Costner says he is aware he only makes movies for men. Costner told the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast that making movies for men is what he does. Costner admitted that men love to watch him in cowboy hats, and he loves to be watched while wearing cowboy hats. Costner also said men are more dismissive of mediocre reviews as long as the men they are watching are wearing cowboy hats. I took liberties with a lot of that, except the part of him acknowledging he likes to make movies for men. Here's a Pete pick you might want to take advantage of for some midweek movie watching fun. Check out A Quiet Place Day One. The film has no huge stars, but is really well directed and paced. The scares and feels are first rate, and the best part? Watching it with a crowd where no one is making a peep because they feel like they are actually in the movie and will be attacked by aliens if they do. This is the third installment of the Quiet Place franchise and third film in a row that has reviewed very well. It doesn't disappoint. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and a low in the upper 50s. Storms ending tomorrow morning, but more developing again in the afternoon. High, low 70s. Sunshine returns, nice day Wednesday. High, low 80s. Storm chances return for the 4th of July. Currently at 64 degrees.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend and retired attorney Sandy Williams will be here to talk about the recent Supreme Court decisions and how they affect you and me.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis here in the Twin Cities. And it's always our pleasure to have you on and just discuss what's going on. And, you know, if I had a cold, Dr. Stately, would that, and I had like a big debate, would that affect my, would that affect me?
I think you're affected when you don't have a cold and...
One in a row for Dr. Stately. We're keeping track here.
I'm just one kidding. In a row. You might, although you might really do well against Joe Biden, actually, quite frankly.
Yeah. I think so too.
I mean, I think there's a lot of things. I don't know, like, have you ever had a cold or severe cold where you felt like, I mean, I have felt that way, like I can't, like if I take cold medicine and I can't think clearly and mm-hmm. a few other things. And I'm like, you know, I'm 62 and he's what, 81? So like, you mm-hmm. know, he's, you know, I forget things all of the time. Mm-hmm. I forget the names of people I've known for 40 or 50 years when I'm introducing them mm-hmm. to somebody, like I were at an event and be like, and then because I've had, like I have COVID, you know, some COVID fog still, so.
Well, Wendy and I used
doesn't
to have,
mean I'm ineffective at leading, you know.
That's
I
right.
I can still find my way to my car in my bathroom. I can find my car at the Mall of America, which I think is, you know, practically as difficult as running the country.
Yeah. Well, I used to park always in the same spot or same area, so I'd never get lost. But Wendy and I used to have a thing where, Wendy, if I introduce you first, that means that I don't remember this person's name. So then you go, oh, I didn't quite catch your name. And then I go into acting mode and say, oh, I'm so rude. I meant to invite, you know. Right, Wendy?
That's wow. right. Now that everybody knows that.
Yeah, right.
Just gave it away. They'll be able to call you out now. So your cat's out of the bag there, dude.
Names are hard, though. They've always been hard for me.
Me too.
I think it's we're at a place where we can just be like socially and be like, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. You know, mm-hmm. I'm having a difficult time recalling here. Yeah. Like I've been doing that lately. I just tell people like, you know, I'm sorry, I have a little bit of COVID brain.
I have to fake it because I learned something when I was teaching in school. And especially as our community changed and we had, you know, first time citizens come to high school, that the most important thing that a person owns is their name. So that's why Wendy and I have been doing this charade for 23 years about names.
Yeah, Robert, that's why you called your kids at school all different names.
I gave them nicknames.
Because you couldn't say their real names.
All right. Now we're really getting deep here.
Wait, like, are two of they're twins. Two are twins. So, like, did you mix those ones up?
Yeah, every once in a while I would say, what was it? Jalissa.
It's a really cute, funny story. I'm going to just say it really quickly. One of Robert's students, I don't even remember her real name, but Robert said, I'm going to call you Jenica. So then all the kids in the class started calling her Jenica, and then all the kids in the hallway called her Jenica, and then all the kids in the school called her Jenica. And when she got her school jacket, the name that she hadn't printed on it was Jenica.
Well, she came up to me and she was one of the underclass people that,
isn't
you know,
that cute?
We were going to go out and videotape. And she goes, you don't even remember my name, do you? And I said, yeah, it's Jenica.
Yeah.
It was Jessica.
That person is a relative of mine, and that she's been in therapy for quite some time.
That's a cute story. Like, you know, like, that name, her nickname, embroidered
on her athletic jacket
because it was a name that was endearing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she did it herself.
Yeah.
She did it herself.
Because everyone started calling her Jenica after that.
Oh, okay.
Because Mr.
I thought
Pilot,
they did it like a mistake or something.
Because Mr. Pilot was a dum-dum, and everyone started calling her Jenica, and then it became her nickname. And then she loved it, and she put it on her letter jacket and a couple other athletic things that she had her name on. So, yeah, it was a fun story.
Wow.
She's in therapy now, though, I imagine.
Yeah, working through all the, shame, frustration, mistrust.
Oh, my God.
Misidentity.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Haley, easy.
She's thinking she has a personality disorder or multiple personality disorder. Like, maybe I am Jenica.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Is this a
so Jenica? If you're out there listening to us, make sure you call in next week, okay? Because we want to hear your story.
Definitely.
We want to hear how things are going. I think I am a Facebook friend with her. Maybe I'll reach out and say, "Hey, Dr. Stately wants to talk to you."
Yeah. Maybe she changed her Facebook name to Jenica.
Haley's on a roll. She's attacking me now. What the heck? I almost said hell.
Oh.
Yeah. What else, Haley?
I mean, not much. I just am getting over my little weekend of recovering from that very embarrassing presidential debate.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's a part of me, I have really mixed feelings about it because I have friends who are just like, oh my God, he needs to drop out of the race. And oh my God. And I was like, really? Does he really? That's a reasonable thing. I was like, here's the thing that I think that is probably that no one has said yet. Nobody has said this yet. So I'll be possibly the first one to say it. Like, even if he is mentally, sort of diminished, and even if he is having some other challenges, shaky boys, and he must be native because he makes fun of himself all the time. So, that's a really good thing. He's not completely incapacitated. And here's the other thing that I was just talking to somebody about the other day is do you think that this idea that people have, this is the thing that's challenging for me, is this idea that people have, the president actually runs the entire country. The president doesn't actually run the entire country. The president has competent people that they hire and that they appoint and that they make, and that they have an entire cabinet. They have a workforce of thousands of people that help them to sort of make good decisions and keep them well informed. It's in comparison, the other guy, the orange one, appointed his own family members and a bunch of other incompetent people. And so, and thusly made a lot of incompetent decisions. That Trump is not as stupid as we all think. He just maybe surrounded himself with stupid people, which is a whole other issue. I mean, I think, I've been president of my company now for about 4 years. And what I've learned in that role is I can't run it. I don't know every single thing about running a health center. And I just don't, but I know how to identify people with a set of skills and some talent, and I can identify when people are committed and they work hard and they have morals and ethics and principles and all these things that go into sort of leadership. I can identify those skill sets and those talents and those characteristics. And so what I do is I pull those people into my team because I need, in order for me to quote unquote look good and not look like incompetent in public, I need somebody to help me with that.
Exactly. Because
this idea that people are kicking around is crazy.
Just because you think Alfred is too old to take care of the Batcave, you don't replace him with the Joker. People that are complaining to me never were going to vote for Biden. So whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think the other thing, I think some of the things that I'm bothered by are a couple of different things. One is I come from a culture that happens to sort of value people who are older, who understand he's lived a long time, he's seen a lot of things, he's pretty wise, he's done a pretty remarkable job. with the economy, considering where we were at, like at that whole conversation they had about the economy, I was like, wait, like, yes, you know, you made this massive, huge, like what, $10 trillion deficit, the largest deficit we've ever had from any sitting president in the history of the our nation. And so then I'm like, so some of this stuff just wasn't adding up. And I was like, and sadly enough, like one narrative that I've heard a couple of times is like, well, you know, he wasn't even on the ball and you didn't even like challenge him on some of those things. And you could have like really took him to task and a few other things. It's like, well, have you ever been sick and wanted to like go into a dog fight when you were sick? It's like, Jesus, like, you know, you know, give like, and I get it. It's like, you know, it's the biggest championship fight of you know, every 4 years we have this process. But I think the challenge that I have is like two things. I sort of kind of read the undertones there about like, you know, how like, oh, they're too old to be, you know, to be of any service. It's like, well, in indigenous communities, we value our elders. We actually listen to their counsel and we listen to their stories and we glean really important information and make decisions based on that. And we actually seek out that that elder wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a challenge with that. And I think the other under the surface conversation is like people are like, well, I'm really concerned about Camilla and like, what if he dies in office and Camilla takes over? It's like, what, would that be such a horrible thing? We'd have the first Black woman president in the entire history of the United States. But I think that people aren't willing to be transparent and open about their racism and also their misogyny.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we talk about
that. So we want to call it something different, right?
Right.
We think that, or a lot of people in the country think that only a younger white male can lead the country. Right.
And right.
Look where they've gotten us thus far.
I just got to say, Dan Quayle. Just two words.
Right. Was it potato or potato or what was it?
How do you spell it? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Stately, we appreciate you jumping on. We know you're a busy person, and I just have to say this, that Trump made 30 false claims. We like to call them lies, where I was brought up during the debate. So there is that, and we just lost Dr. Stately. But thanks for being on, Dr. Stately, and
thank
wherever
you
are. Oh, there you are. Good to
I'm
see
I'm here
you.
Behind this timestamp sign that's up on there.
Hey, Native Roots Radio, up next, Wendy in our sacred animal section.
Stay with us.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Imagine over 7,000 voices from around the globe coming together in harmony in Minneapolis. This summer, Gala Choruses Festival 2024 comes to Minnesota. It's the world's largest LGBTQ+ singing event. From July 10th through 14th, Minneapolis will be transformed into a vibrant city of song. Join 122 choruses from places as far as China, Estonia, Finland, Ukraine, and Taiwan for 5 unforgettable days of wall-to-wall concerts, workshops, and social events at world-class venues like Orchestra Hall, the Minneapolis Convention Center, and Central Lutheran Church. One standout event not to miss is the free Choral Carnival on Friday, July 12th. Experience excitement as downtown Minneapolis comes alive with 45 to 60-minute rotating performances. Feel the energy in person by purchasing tickets at galacourses.org or stream every performance live and on demand at galacourses.org. Celebrate love, diversity, and the power of music at Gala Courses Festival 2024, where every voice matters. July 10th through 14th in downtown Minneapolis.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Enough.
Oh. Okay, good. Good. Very strong, healthy wolf right there.
That was a long breath.
That's from all those days of playing the brass instrument, a trumpet, and things like that. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been here on 8 years here on Native Roots Radio talking about our sacred animals, and it's great to have you on, and I see you have no notes, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagar Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And I just want to say, remind everyone to please make sure your fences are secure and your kitties and dogs will be inside for the 4th of July.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the most dogs go missing on the 4th of July than any other time in the whole year. Even the most well-behaved and well-trained dog will sometimes get freaked out and dart and just leave and run. Really get their tags in order, put their name tags on with your information on it. Keep them in the house where it's nice and cool. Put the AC on,
a fan maybe.
Play an old album that you think that they like on repeat.
Yeah.
Play Lassie, the best of Lassie.
Yeah, put some noise on so they don't have to hear the loud noise. So yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard too for people who have PTSD too.
Oh,
I just want to say that military who
absolutely.
Really these sounds are, deafening to them. So
brings back a lot of
a
lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Are you planning on, and I know because we fly a lot with the dog now, are you planning on giving her anything for the 4th of July?
Well, if we're home with her, I think if it's going to rain and we're going to be home, I think she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I might give her a little bit. That's a good idea. Maybe just to take the edge off.
Right.
Because you have separation anxiety on top of being afraid of thunder and loud noises. So that's a good idea. We should probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be pretty effective, but she's a pretty hyper dog for 15 or 16 years
old. Well, she's just turned 14 on May 5th.
Oh, 14?
14. Well, we think she's 14. We don't really know for sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you know those little bees that you see in the evening sitting on flowers are old bees?
Mm.
Yeah, old and sick bees don't return to the hive at the end of their day. They spend the night on flowers, and if they have the chance to see another sunrise, they resume their activity by bringing pollen and nectar to the colony. They do this sensing that their end is near. No bee wants to die in the hive so as not to burden the other. So next time you see an old little bee sat upon a flower as the night closes in, thank the little bee for her life of long service.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, so at nighttime, if you see a bee on a flower, that's at the end of their life. Yeah.
Jeez. How long do bees live?
I don't think they live very long. I mean, I have to look it up, but I think it's just like a couple of months. Like they don't live very long. Things only crazy dog people do. Do you want to hear what they do?
Yeah.
Ask one dog where the other one is when you can't find them. We used to do that, right? When we had Mickey and Poncho, I used to hear Robert say to Mickey, Mickey, where's Poncho? Right? It's not a lie. People do that.
I didn't remember that.
That's true. Okay. He has a little meme on that I found. I've been looking for these memes, and they're so funny. So there's this dog and a little baby crawling on all fours, and the dog says, "Don't listen to them. You're already walking just fine."
I like that one.
That was a great explanation of that joke.
There was this dog. I read this story. I'm really excited about talking about this dog. So this is the Denver Boulder Turnpike dog. Denver Boulder Turnpike dog. Shep, that was the name of the dog. He became famous in history as a highway mascot who greeted motorists at the toll booths on the Denver Boulder Turnpike. In 1950, during the construction of the Boulder-Denver Turnpike, a stray puppy wandered into the site where the workers would share bits of food with him. And in 1952, when the turnpike opened to the motorists and the construction workers left, the timid dog began begging for food from the toll booth attendants. And one cold night, one of the attendants working was able to coax the dog into his booth. The dog found a warm space to lay down, and the attendant found company to better his night. Soon the dog was named Shep. They became close friends with all the attendants, and Shep loved his new home, and the motorists were thrilled to be greeted by the dog. In fact, drivers would pay a little extra to help buy dog food, give dog toys and treats, and even pull over to have their picture taken with Shep. It didn't take long for the Colorado Department of Transportation to make Shep the highway's unofficial mascot. Mm-hmm. Despite all the love and attention Shep received, he still liked to roam off on his own and at times, but would always return. One day in 1958, he returned limping after he was mysteriously shot.
Oh.
Yeah, Clyde Bruner, a Broomfield veterinarian, treated the dog for free and continued to donate his service for the rest of Shep's life. In 1964, Shep was losing his sight and could barely get around. On August 3rd, at the end of the year, the men who loved and cared for him made the difficult decision to put Shep to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah, the highway superintendent buried Shep next to US 36 on ramp. Two headstones were donated by residents, one with the inscription Shep 1950 to 1964, part shepherd, mostly affection.
Oh.
Yeah, and the other, our pal, some suggested getting another toll booth dog, but one attendant insisted nobody could take the Shep's place ever. The extra money the motorist paid, which was more than enough to feed and care for Shep, went towards the cost of the turnpike. In 1967, the turnpike was paid off 13 years earlier than originally expected. In 2009, due to the ongoing construction, Shep's grave was moved to Zang Spur Park next to the Bloomfield Depot Museum. He always wagged his tail at everyone who came by and was always happy, said Jane Spain, who helped lead the effort to move Shep's grave. For everyone that went back and forth on the turnpike, he was their favorite thing. And here's a picture of Shep. Yeah, so this was a Facebook post, and there were a lot of people who said that they made a special trip to Zane Spur Park next to the Bloomfield Depot Museum just to see his memorial.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cute? It's a cute little story.
It is
about
cute.
A little dog that was homeless, and then he found a home.
Yeah.
So there's a meme here with a face of a donkey, and it says, two things to make your day better. Number one, do not watch the news.
Oh.
Two, stay off the bathroom scales. I know, right? So it's a guy at the doctor's office, and the nurse walks in, and she's got a dog on the leash. So she says to the guy, low energy, depressed, you can try B12, but we have a lot of luck with canine.
Oh, that's funny.
I get it.
Yeah.
That was good, Wendy. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll discuss the implications of the Supreme Court's ruling for Jack Smith's continuing case and 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.